Hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a 5-Minute Friday. Today, we're going to talk about facelifts, what is the ideal age, and the perfect time to have a facelift. That is such a controversial question, and so many different answers and thinking processes are out there. It's kind of hard for the average consumer to even understand when they're a candidate for a facelift and when they need to start thinking of non-invasive, minimally invasive. When do you cross the border to fully invasive? Do you go superficial? Do you do a smass lift? Do you do a deep plane lift? It's all a lot of information. So I thought over the next few weeks, we could do a little bit of a deep dive into facelifts. On average, it's a very popular thing to get done. According to a report from the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, people in the United States spend almost $16 billion on cosmetic procedures. That was in 2020. Out of that, $1.9 billion on facelifts. The average patient who has a facelift rates themselves as looking almost 12 years younger, 10 to 12 years younger. But it is a surgery. It does come with risks. Facelift, especially the deeper operations, can be multiple hours, sometimes 6 to 8 hours, or longer if you're adding eyelids and neck. And there is risk of general anesthesia, breathing problems, bleeding, infection, blood clots, nerve damage, all the wound complications that can occur when you have a big surgery. So it's really important to understand, you know, are you really ready for that? The ideal age for a facelift, what's ideal? Well, the average age out there is 50.2 years. That's for a primary facelift. The average age for a secondary facelift is around 62 years old. And the average amount of time between the two lifts, your first one and your second lift, might be about 12 years. So how long does a facelift last? Around 11 to 12 years. It depends, of course, on if you are kind of a rough, tough living person and there's too much, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, LOL, just kidding, too much sun exposure, too much high glycemic index foods, not good skincare, not doing any maintenance in between, and it's not going to last as long. But if you're doing all the right things, using your retin-A's, doing some Botox in between, still doing some filler maintenance in the mid-face area, your facelift can last up to 10 or 12 years. Looking at a study of about 382 women, the average age in a typical surgeon's office for a facelift is about 58, so closer to 60 years of age. You can be any age to do a facelift. And I encourage my patients to think on the spectrum of a mini lift, facelift, which includes tightening into the lower face and jowl, or neck lift. If you have any kind of neck laxity, basically neck folds, neck laxity, elasticity changes of the lower face, you're going to need a facelift, neck lift, the full Monty. And the effects of facelift are maximized and can be extended when you do them when the skin has good elasticity and within this age range. So 50 to 65 is kind of the ideal. Sometimes you can have the best results for slightly younger age groups. So we are seeing a TikTok trend, an Instagram social media trend to having younger lifts. And I have crazily enough seen patients in my office who are 35, 37 years old and have had their first facelift. And I think this is insanity. If you have so much body dysmorphia that you think you have sagging and laxity at age 35 or 37, God help you, girl, when you hit 50. Because honestly, you cannot be Instagram filter perfect at that age or at any age in life. You have to be comfortable with seeing a little bit of laxity, elasticity changes, and just normal aging process. If at age 35 you think you need a facelift, you're doing it way too early. So I tell my patients to really think carefully, because I think you only have two good facelifts in your life. And anybody who's doing a third facelift is going to have some changes where their skin and face just don't look as normal. There will be scar tissue, there will be fibrosis, there is sometimes dyskinesia and change in the muscle expression, and things just look a little funky by the time you do facelift number 3. So I really think that the normal, average, attractive woman has 2 good facelifts in their life. And that, my friends, puts your first facelift no earlier than age 50. And your second facelift, if you need it, by around 60, 65. Remember, women, we're going to live to be 90. The average woman in America is living to be about 84, 85 years old. And with good health and treatment and longevity maintenance, you're going to be about 85, 90. So I think if you can get your second facelift at age 65, that'll give you another 10 years at 75. If you're thinking of a facelift at 75 and beyond, more power to you. Just keep in mind that that third facelift can sometimes start to look a little irregular and not as natural. And you will have more health problems at age 75, so maybe you won't be able to undergo a 6-hour procedure, which can be a 10-hour procedure when there's scar tissue and revision necessary. So think of a facelift with certain signs. Sagging skin, more than a centimeter of skin excess. If you can lift up and pull back in front of your ears more than a centimeter of skin, that is enough loss of elasticity, where trimming and tightening is necessary. If you have deeper lines and wrinkles, loss of elasticity and skin sagging, you're a good candidate. And skin laxity refers to the loss of this elasticity and firmness. And this is at its worst beginning in your 50s and beyond, because in perimenopause, when estrogen levels tank, the amount of collagen production really tanks and the skin loses some of its nice turgor and recoil and elasticity. You've had by that time in your life so much sun exposure, you have drier skin, less facial oils are produced. Anyone with a Fitzpatrick type 1 or 2 skin type that's very fair is certainly going to be at risk for photo damage and collagen breakdown from the sun. So those things all contribute to the laxity that might put you into the facelift category. And there's 3 kind of facelifts out there, maybe 4, maybe even 5 if you buy all the hype on the gram. There's a traditional facelift known as a full facelift. This is in general best for people with moderate to severe signs of aging around the middle of the face and neck. It can remove and reshape the excess skin. It can reposition fat pads, and everything is placed into more vertically vectored position. A mini lift is ideal when you only need a little tightening on the lower half of the face. And it's popular from age 45 to 50 to do a mini lift. If you don't have any neck concerns, it's a very small incision, preauricular, in front of the ear, and much shorter recovery time than a full traditional facelift, which tends to have an incision curving around the back of the ear into the hairline. A neck lift with a full facelift is kind of the full Monty, and that's when you have visibly sagging skin and jowling. So jowling of the face, skin folds in the neck, platysmal bands and skin excess, submental fat in the neck. All of these things require the combination of a facelift and a neck lift at the same time. And this is really important to understand that there are variations of facelift out there. Deep plane, smash lift, it all sounds so fancy. I had a patient in the office yesterday who told me, "Have I heard about the newest invention in facelifts? It just came out, the deep plane lift." I was like, "The deep plane lift? That's been around, my girl, since 1970. Those surgeons out there that are hawking their work, saying that their smash lift and their deep plane lift is brand new to the industry, that's just charlatans talking. These procedures have been written about literally since the 70s and 80s. Maybe even back to the 50s. I'm going to have to go look up when that first was published. And I just want you to understand that there's so many ways to skin a cat. Doing a deep plane lift is a wonderful way to tighten the underground musculature and ligaments of the face. So if we do a traditional lift with just skin tightening, that is tightening and trimming skin laxity only. We can go down to the next level of the skin, the smass, which is the fascia. The fascia is the connective tissue, the netting that's covering the musculature and under the musculature, and we can pull that cover tighter, this mass level, if we pull this mass tighter, we're going to help to reposition some mild gravitational changes and give some beautiful effect to the underground musculature and fat pads. We can go the next level deep, which is then the deep plane lift, and this allows for repositioning of the facial retaining ligaments and even some of the muscles of the face. And of course, that is more aggressive, that is deeper level surgery. We can do fat transfers to support volumes of the midface, and we can do liposuction to remove volume that is excessive in the neck and tighten things up. So many levels of what we can do. None of it is new, and none of it has been just invented. So the charlatans out there that are promoting these procedures as revolutionary, brand new, and they're the new kid on the block, that is just wrong. You need to find a surgeon who's skilled in anatomy, who understands the depth and level of these treatments, and who is able to give a very artistic result. It's not enough to pull things tight. The wind-blown, tightened look of the face, that is over. Lifting things with the vertical vector upwards to create the heart-shaped, beautiful face, that is what we want to see. And I want patients to understand that maintenance is still going to be required after a facelift. You're still going to need to do your Botox treatments because muscle movement, repetitive wrinkling, still going to happen. We still are going to need to do some fillers, especially in the midface. So you may still need to do fillers in the under eye, the lips, the chin, the areas where soft volumes are necessary, particularly if you're gaunt or if you have dermal atrophy. These things are not addressed by a facelift, which tightens the periphery. In patients who've done non-surgical rejuvenation, what is the success story of that? One surgeon studied 157 patients in his practice who started doing non-surgical rejuvenation around the age of 37 and had their facelift in their 40s. And most of these patients had had rounds of injectables prior to facelift. The average of about 7 rounds of injectable treatments before facelift. And some of them have had lasers too. So the cumulative amount of dollars spent before facelift over the course of 10 years before they got their facelift was around $7,000, $10,000. And none of them regretted doing the non-surgical interventions. They did not regret spending money on non-surgical before transitioning to a facelift. Patients reported they felt 4 years younger with their non-surgical interventions, and then up to 8 or 10 years younger with surgery. And that's appropriate. When we do something aggressive, we want you to get a better result. Surgery is going to be that next level thing. But it's not always practical in times of recuperation, recovery, and cost, and has to be timed just right. So I don't want you guys to think that abandoning your injectables is the way to go. It definitely isn't. Patients who had facelifts began their facial treatments at an earlier age, and they were able to push off the time of the facelift a little bit later than if they had done nothing. So that rejuvenation, it adds up, it stacks up in your favor, and it allows you to do some maintenance. And I want my patients to do their maintenance until the point that they have so much skin laxity that there's no amount of filler, toxin, or biostimulator that's going to improve the laxity. Sometimes last year's bathing suit just loses its stretch. The fabric becomes so stretched out and lax that you just have to tighten and trim. You definitely want to do your maintenance. You don't want to end up with skin that has no elasticity. That is one of the most important things, is in order to heal well, you have to have good collagen production, good dermal thickness, and good skin elasticity. So that is doing treatments that include Retin-A for topical treatment, stem cell growth factors, injections like collagen biostimulators like Sculptra, like hyperdilute radius, doing PRP injections, doing radio frequency devices and microneedling. All of these things stack up and help you. And think about facelift as part of the spectrum of what we can do to help. And I don't want you to feel scared about facelifts. I don't want you to rush and do them. I definitely want you to think about this concept that you only have 2 good facelifts in your life. And that's coming from a surgeon who would rather that you look beautiful and have a great outcome instead of getting you under the knife early when it's too early. Like, ethically, I just can't do that to people. I want you to age gracefully, be age appropriate, and, you know, really time these facelifts so that they're going to last you a lifetime of beauty and happiness. That's what I want for all of you guys. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. That's where you can find me doing amazing injectables for patients. I don't video my surgeries because I pay full attention when I'm in the operating room. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find our amazing Diamond Line Refine and high-dose retinol regenerator. Definitely recommend that you get on these products to improve your skin elasticity and postpone surgery as long as possible. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.